Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. It's Wednesday, July 8th. 79 years ago today, the Roswell Army Airfield in New Mexico issued a press release saying that they had recovered a flying disc from a ranch outside the town. The next day, they took it back and said it was a weather balloon. That reversal, one day of "We found a flying saucer," followed by "Never mind, it was a balloon," created one of the most durable conspiracy theories in American history. I saw Disclosure Day a few weeks ago, and whatever you think about the movie or thought about the movie, the cultural obsession with UFOs and alien cover-ups can be traced in a pretty much straight line back to this one incident in 1947. And here's what makes the Roswell story actually interesting to me. The government was lying. They just weren't lying about what people think. They weren't hiding aliens. They were hiding a classified Cold War surveillance program. And the cover story they chose to protect it handed conspiracy theorists a smoking gun they've been using for nearly 8 decades. Okay, let's get into the story. But to understand why the Army's press release caused the reaction that it did, you have to know what was happening in the country 2 weeks earlier. So on June 24th, 1947, a pilot named Kenneth Arnold was flying over the Cascade Mountains in Washington State when he reported seeing 9 crescent-shaped objects moving in formation at speeds that seemed impossible. He described their movement as like a saucer would if you skipped it over water. The media ran with it and coined the term flying saucer. Within days, the country was in the middle of a full-blown UFO craze, with sighting reports pouring in from everywhere. When a rancher in New Mexico said he found some strange debris on his property a few weeks later, the context was already set. In June 1947, that rancher, Mac Brazel, found a field of debris scattered across his property about 75 miles northwest of Roswell. That material included metallic foil, rubber strips, lightweight wooden sticks, and tape with strange symbols on it. Brazel had never seen anything like it, and he gathered some of the pieces and then brought them to the Roswell sheriff, who called the nearby Roswell Army Airfield. Major Jesse Marcel, an intelligence officer with the base, drove out to the ranch, collected the debris, and then brought it back to the airfield. On July 8, 1947, which is 79 years ago today, the base's public information officer issued a press release saying that the Army had recovered a flying disc. That was the actual language. The Roswell Daily Record ran it as a front page headline, and within hours, the story had gone national and then international. The next day, the Army reversed course completely. Officials at Fort Worth Army Airfield held a press conference where they displayed pieces of a standard weather balloon and said that the Roswell debris had been misidentified. They posed Major Marcel next to the weather balloon scraps for photographs. The story died almost immediately. In 1947, people trusted the military. If the Army said it was a weather balloon, then it was a weather balloon. The incident disappeared from public attention for over 30 years. But the debris wasn't a weather balloon. The Air Force admitted this in 1994, 47 years after the incident, when they released a report under pressure from Congress confirming that the weather balloon explanation had been a cover story. The actual wreckage came from Project Mogul, a top-secret military program designed to detect Soviet nuclear weapons tests. The U.S. was terrified that the Soviets would develop an atomic bomb and needed a way to know when they tested one. Project Mogul used long trains of high-altitude balloons, some over 600 feet long, equipped with sensitive microphones that could detect the acoustic shock waves of a nuclear detonation traveling through the upper atmosphere. The program was based at Alamogordo Army Airfield, about 100 miles west of Roswell. On June 4, 1947, researchers launched a balloon train that they lost contact with. And guess where it came down? Well, in Mac Brazel's ranch. The materials Brazel found, the foil, the sticks, the strange tape, were consistent with Project Mogul equipment. The tape with alien hieroglyphics that witnesses later described matched the decorative symbols on adhesive tape that the Mogul program sourced from a New York toy manufacturer. The metallic foil was radar reflector material. The rubber strips were from the balloons themselves. None of it was extraterrestrial, and it was all classified. And that's where the problem started. The Army couldn't tell the public what the debris actually was because Project Mogul was one of the most sensitive intelligence programs in the country. So they called it a weather balloon, which was technically related to what Project Mogul used, but was also clearly a deflection. The cover story worked in 1947 because people trusted the government, but it stopped working in the late 1970s when trust in government had collapsed after Vietnam, Watergate, and the Church Committee revelations about CIA and FBI abuses. The same lie that ended the story in 1947 reignited it in 1978 when Major Marcel went public and said that the weather balloon explanation had been fabricated. He was right that it was a cover story, but he was wrong about what it was covering. Now for how everything unraveled. In 1978, a nuclear physicist turned UFO researcher named Stanton Friedman tracked down the now retired Jesse Marcel and interviewed him. Marcel said that the weather balloon photographs had been staged, that the real debris was unlike anything he'd ever seen, and that the government had covered up the truth. The interview led to books, documentaries, and a wave of new witnesses who came forward with increasingly dramatic claims, including recovered alien bodies, secret autopsies, and a government program called Majestic 12 that allegedly managed the alien technology. The Air Force's response in the 1990s didn't help either. Their 1994 report confirmed that the weather balloon story was a lie and that the debris was from Project Mogul. But by that point, the conspiracy had been building momentum for 16 years, and then the government saying, "Actually, it was a different secret government program," didn't exactly inspire confidence. Their 1997 follow-up report tried to explain the alien body claims by suggesting that witnesses had confused memories of a crash test dummies dropped from high altitudes in the 1950s with the 1947 incident, a theory that even sympathetic observers found unconvincing because the dates didn't match. The pattern is what matters more than the specifics of Roswell. The government had a legitimate secret to protect in 1947. They chose to protect it with a lie rather than a no comment or even a partial truth. The lie worked in the short term, but created a credibility gap that conspiracy theorists exploited for decades. When the government finally told the truth in 1994, nobody believed them because they had already been caught lying once. Each attempt to correct the record looked like another layer of the cover-up rather than just the resolution. The dynamics plays out with every institution that chooses secrecy over transparency. We covered it in the FIFA episode. When an organization governs itself, investigates itself, and controls its own information, the gap between what they say and what people believe widens over time. Roswell is the template. The government lied about a balloon, and 50 years later, a majority of Americans believed the government was hiding aliens. The distance between those two points was created not by the evidence of extraterrestrial life, but by the simple, corrosive effect of being caught up in a lie and then asking people to trust you anyway. And then there's the final twist. Roswell turned the conspiracy into an economy. The town now has the International UFO Museum and the Research Center, alien-themed streetlights, a McDonald's shaped like flying saucer, and an annual UFO festival that draws tens of thousands of visitors. The government's cover story created the conspiracy theory, and the conspiracy theory created a tourist industry. It's the most American thing ever, by the way. The lie that was supposed to protect a classified program ended up defining a town's entire identity for the next 8 decades. Aliens are all the rage in this day and age, so if you happen to hear someone talking about aliens or UFOs or anything of the like, here's what you should think about. 79 years ago today, the U.S. Army announced that they had recovered a flying disc near Roswell, New Mexico, then retracted the statement the next day and said it was a weather balloon. Both statements were misleading. The debris was from Project Mogul, a classified Cold War program using high-altitude balloons to detect Soviet nuclear tests. The Army couldn't reveal the program, so they called it a weather balloon. The cover story worked for 30 years until a retired officer said that it was fabricated, which launched decades of conspiracy theories about alien cover-ups. The Air Force admitted the weather balloon was a lie in 1994, but by then, nobody believed them. The Roswell incident isn't really a story about aliens. It's about a story about what happens when institutions choose secrecy over transparency and then lose the ability to be believed even when they finally tell the truth. Stay informed, stay curious, stay truthful, and we'll see you tomorrow.